Emporia Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
The same people who received Jesus in Jerusalem, remember when Jesus was coming in riding a donkey? The same people who was cheering for Jesus, he was singing songs for Jesus, they were putting palm trees on the way. How can it be that the same people that received Jesus with such joy, it was the same people that crucified him? Many of them. How can that be? And the only reason I can understand is like they were with a not genuine faith. People were not genuine faith. And this morning I would like to talk about a topic that is really I really worry about this a lot, and a genuine faith. And then it goes later. A strong faith. Have you ever asked yourself, how can I be sure that I'm a Christian? Have I really received Christ in my heart? Does he really live in me? Am I sure that when I die, I have eternal life with him? Have you ever had a thought or an attitude that questions whether your faith is real? Man, these questions are life and death questions. Life and death questions. Am I completely sure of my salvation? Now, it may be that you are 100% sure that your faith is genuine, but the next question is my faith strong? You know, because we can have a genuine faith, but it might be that we need to work on our faith. Maybe it could be a little bit weak. Ask those questions. You know, we need a faith that preaches without fear or trembling, that serves, that transforms. A faith that is noticed. Is your faith noticed at your job? In the classroom? With your family members, with your neighbors? Is your faith, does your neighbors know that you're a Christian? Is it noticeable? Without telling them. Is it noticeable? You know, the Bible talks about Moses glowing, remember? Moses glowing after he came from the mountain. Are you glowing? Is it noticeable? Without telling them, do they know? You know what? It is a topic because, you know, I work with a lot of people, and you know, and it, nowadays it's really easy to find people that very easy can tell you that they believe in Jesus. You know, do you believe in Jesus? Yeah, I believe in Jesus. But I'm really worried that their faith will take them to heaven. Is it weak? Is it real? Now, what is a genuine faith anyway? I think, you know, to understand what is a genuine faith, we should talk about what is not a genuine faith, okay? So what is not a genuine faith? A genuine faith is not positive thinking. You know, you can be, you know, like, you know, very positive. That's not it. A genuine faith is not optimism, you know? A genuine faith is not naming it or claiming it. You know, I'm a Christian. Yes, I am. You know, you can name it, claim it. You know, is that it? Naming faith, look at this. It's not even processing Christ. You know, like, for example, like, when you talk about Christ, just talking about Christ, is it that genuine faith? It's not about processing Christ. It's about possessing Christ. You see what I'm saying? Remember when the Bible says, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. So you can talk about Christ, but is that it? Anybody can talk about it. It's not mere head knowledge. Agreeing with your church doctrine, is that it? Emotions for God, crying, you know, is part of it, but is it? A genuine faith is not, wow. It's not even, for example, it's not even knowing a lot about the Bible. Have you seen people that knows a lot about the Bible? That can quote verses and quote verses and quote verses? You know what? It's not just about knowing about, the Bible wasn't crucified for you. You see what I'm saying? The Bible, it wasn't the Bible that resurrected from the dead. You know? You see what I'm saying? So you can know a lot about the Bible, but just knowing about the Bible, is it genuine faith? Wow. It's not even walking an aisle or praying a prayer. Man. Anyone can do that. Anyone can walk an aisle and pray a prayer. So, what is it anyway? What is it then? So, today I want to talk about signs that shows what is a genuine faith. Let me tell you, we are experiencing in our churches a decreasing number of people committed to serve, to work for the kingdom, volunteers to do the work that God sends us. We are seeing our pews in our churches filled with people sometimes that we need to work on our faith. Sometimes that any situation, any little situation lead us to leave the church or not talking to our brothers. We live in times that our faith is constantly challenged. Is your faith challenged? Mine is, every time, many times at work. You know, Christians, young Christians, today more than ever, experience opposition of their faith in their communities, in their schools, man, universities. You seen it? It's getting worse. The TV ads. Christian parents constantly encounter situations where only a radical faith can conquer over the pressure of society against our Christian principles. How can we be sure our faith? And now how can we strengthen our faith? A Christian with genuine faith is noticeable. It has to be contagious, makes a difference. Let me read you a verse. Man, this verse right here, do you know any verses that scares you? Man, I have there's a lot of verses in the Bible that really scares me. There's a lot in Revelation, but this verse right here scares me. Look at this, 2 Corinthians 13:5. Test yourself to see if you are in faith. Ouch. Huh? Examine yourself, or do you recognize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you failed the test? I want to do something different today. The paper I give you, it is, of course, fill in the blanks, as we usually do, but it's actually also a test. And this is going to be very personal. It's going to be very confidential. And then today, we are going to examine ourselves, okay? It's going to be really fun. Today, we're going to test ourselves, all right? And then you're going to grade yourself from 1 to 5. And, just how good are you doing on each point? And if you got a 2, you got a 3, that doesn't mean you're not a Christian. But if you have a lot of 2s or a lot of 1s, that means we need to work on those areas, okay? All right, so this is going to be something really different, and I want you to, the only way this is going to work, and that you are 100% honest and 100% sincere, and then you don't need to show this to anybody, but just, you know, everybody got it? Everybody has the little paper? on you. All right, very good. All right, so let's talk. We already talked about what is not a genuine faith. So let's talk about signs that declares a genuine faith in us. Number one, acknowledges and confesses one's sin. Acknowledges and confesses one's sin. Look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. If we say that we have not sinned, we are deceiving ourselves. We're lying to ourselves. And the truth is not in us. We're all sinners, huh? We have made mistakes. Sometimes our errors are horrors, right? But you know what? We need a perfect God because we are imperfect beings. We're going to stumble. And it's not about if, but it's about when. You know what? A powerful sign of a genuine faith is when you admit that you are a sinner. That you admit that you're a sinner. I always think like following Christ, and it is a humble act to me. It shows that you're humble. When you recognize that, you know what, hey, I can't do this by myself. You know, I need Jesus. I need him in my life. I can't live without his help. It is a humble personality. You see what I'm saying? Acknowledges, admits that we need his help. Now, are we people who, when we sin, we start looking for excuses to justify our sin? I told a lie, but it's just, you know, just a little lie. Not a big deal. I fell into temptation, but others have done worse. What I did is not, you know, it's not such a big thing. Anyway, nobody noticed. What do you feel when you sin? Do you feel remorse? Or do you feel nothing? You know what? Does sin break your heart? Because I tell you, it surely breaks God's heart. You know, a genuine faith has the Holy Spirit that rebuke, that little voice that tells you, you're wrong, Luis. Be careful, Luis. Why you say that, Luis? Why do you think that way? You know, if you don't listen to that little voice in your heart and you feel no guilt or no shame or no remorse when you sin, there is a great possibility that you do not have Christ in your heart. I know there are, you know, there's a lot of, there's also no non-Christians that may feel bad when they sin and even ask you for forgiveness. But is there a conviction about offending God? Any understanding about what it means to sin against God? Because every time we sin, whether little sin or big, your sin is against God. You know what? You know, it doesn't mean that Christians don't sin, you know, but it's talking about sin when you sin deliberately. You see what I'm saying? So, check yourself. You know, maybe you know you need to work on that, and then be honest, and then just grade yourself from 1 to 5. All right, very good. Number two is obedient to the word of God. Is obedient to the word of God. Man, I always like when Pastor Emilio, when Shalmet, he say, I don't believe in a Christian that doesn't read the Bible. That's what he said. And he's so true. He's so right about that. You know, Christians are obedient to the word of God. Look at what he says, 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 to 5. He says, and by this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandment. By this we know. You see what I'm saying? By this we know, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I have come to know him, and does not keep his commandments, he's a liar. You know? And the truth is not in him. It is amazing how the Bible is really straightforward. Huh? But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfecting him. In this we know that we are in him. Signs of a genuine faith. Let me tell you something. Right now, I gotta be honest with you. My whole back hurt right now. Yesterday, we were having a little family project with my wife and my kids. We were planting some flowers, and working on our garden. You know, yesterday I learned a few things. Number one, man, it's hot out there. It's hot out there. My goodness. Number two, to dig a hole, listen to your wife and get a hole digger. You know, she told me like four times, a hole digger, one of those pickaxes. She told me like four times, you know, hey, I think we should get a pickaxe. And I said, don't worry about it. It's only like five holes I got to dig. That's nothing. And then like 2 hours later, she said, I think we should consider getting a pickaxe. And said, don't worry, that's nothing. Now, today my whole back hurts because we never got a pickaxe. But it is crazy. But number three, and this is the serious one, planting flowers, to see fruits, you got to plant the root. And you can't just plant the leaves. You can't just plant, you know, the little flowers, you know, and just put it in there in a hole. You got to plant the whole thing. You got to plant the whole thing. All right, you gotta get your hands dirty. You got to sweat like crazy. And then you got to plant the whole thing. You see what I'm saying? You know what? When we talk about obedience, the Bible talk about Lord Jesus. You know, Lord means what? Owner. He's your boss. You know, you are obedient to your boss. You big trouble, you know, when you go to work. You see what I'm saying? You can't leave the word Lord out of it. You can't just say, you know, he's my Jesus. You know, he's my Jesus. You know, he's the one who blesses me. You know, give me things. You know, he's my Jesus. No, he's your Lord Jesus. You know, and don't leave the best part out of it. If you want to see fruits, plant the root. You see what I'm saying? And then it was funny because my dad came to help us, right? And he brought a bunch of shovels. So and then after we finished, like two hours later, my dad took the showers with him, right? But Kelly was telling me, man, something wrong. I think we should get the shovel and we gotta fix some more of the grass. And I was already so tired. I was like, I couldn't even move. And then I said, well, my daddy took the shovels, and he said, well, you know, you have no shovel and I have no back. So, you know, let's just leave it like it is, you know. A genuine faith is an obedient faith. You know, obedient faith that gives fellowship with other believers, weaknesses, and do it because we are obedient to the word of God. Tell it like it is. Number three, reflect your love to God instead of the world. Reflect your love for God instead of the world. Look what it says, 1 John 2:15. Do not love the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Grade it. 1 to 5. 1 to 5. It's clear. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You know, many of us come from very dark past. You know, drugs, maybe illicit practices. You know, I'm a strong believer that when Christ enters your heart, it is such extraordinary transformation that God replaces your needs, your taste, and your desires. So when people say, you know, like, man, Christians are so boring, they don't go to parties or drugs or whatever, alcohol, you know, to me it's the same answer, you know, like, I just don't need it, you know. If I taste, it just don't taste good anymore, you know. I really believe that when you come to Christ and there is a transformation in your life, God replaces your needs and your desires. You see what I'm saying? This doesn't happen automatically, but if in your life you find yourself constantly returning to your desires in the world without signs of an improvement or a decreasing pattern on those behaviors, then it is a good time to check yourself, grade yourself. Number four, another sign of a genuine faith: projects genuine faith to others. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 to 7. If we say that we have fellowship with him, but walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. You know what? It is impossible that God enters in your heart and there is no transformation in it. There is no transformation in it. The Bible talks about fruits. By his fruits, you will know them. That's the best sign. You know, it is impossible that you have all these things that you were doing, and then God enters to your life, and then you do everything the same or even worse. It is impossible. There's gotta be a transformation. You know what? Many times we say, well, I don't care what people said about me. You know what? This is a tremendous mistake. What people perceive of you is vital information about your character and personality. Why? Well, you can say, I'm not a liar. But if 10 people say you're a liar, guess what? You are a liar. You see what I'm saying? You know? If a good number of people say it, you know, what are they perceiving of you? We talk about being noticeable. Are we noticeable? Is our face noticeable? Let me show you a few pictures. Let's do something really fun. Picture number one. Look at this picture right here. So the little box on top, it looks like a dark gray, right? And then the little box on the bottom, it looks like a light gray. No, you know what? This is called an optical illusion. Now, if you close one eye and if you put your finger in the middle of the picture, do it with me. Close your one eye and then put your finger in the middle of the picture. You will notice that it's the same color. You see it? You see that? You can see that? Like, if you take your finger out, it's two different colors. But if you put the finger in the middle, it is the same color. This is called an optical illusion, right? It looks like a different color, but it's actually the same color. You see what I'm saying? Let me show you the next picture. Look at this picture right here, man. I got a problem. I think I'm getting old. If you got my problem, you see like these circles are kind of moving, huh? It looks like kind of moving a little bit. I don't know why, but like if you see these circles are kind of moving a little bit, then you got my problem. We're getting old. And this is what it is. It's like what they do is like they play a little bit with the shadows of the little circles. And then this is actually it's actually a picture and it's not moving, but it appears to be moving a little bit. You know, it's called an optical illusion. You see what I'm saying? Now, I want you to look to the person next to you. Just look to the person next to you. Don't say anything. You know, just look at it. Just for 5 seconds. Don't say anything. Don't say anything. And then the other person say, "What you looking at?" Say, "What you looking at?" And then you answer, "I'm making sure you're not an optical illusion." You know what? Look at this. Look at the next picture. The next picture. Look at this. An optical illusion Christian appears to be moving, but it's not moving. An optical illusion Christian, it pretends to be one color, but it's a different color. You see what I'm saying? So don't be an optical illusion. You see what I'm saying? You know, and appears to be something. Projects a genuine faith, projects to others a genuine faith. You need to glow like Moses. You know, you need to show, you know, let it know in your workplace. Let it know in your classroom. Let it know in your neighborhood. Let it know in your house with your other family members. They need to know. They need to see it. You need to glow. Number five, a genuine faith maintains a clear conscience of one faith. Look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 21. It says, "Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God." You need to maintain a clear conscience. You know, let me tell you something. This is so important. It is impossible for a true believer to become an unbeliever. It is impossible for a true believer to become an unbeliever. So maybe you say, "But so what about that person that I knew that he was all active in the church and he was, you know, like jumping with the songs and crying all aloud, you know? So what about that person? And now that person is over there, maybe with the Jehovah Witnesses, or that person is living, you know, exactly the same as before, or even worse. So, you know, so how can you say that?" Well, the easy explanation is that person never had Christ in the first place. It is impossible for a true believer to become an unbeliever. It's impossible. Remember, you know, the Bible says about nothing can take it away from you. Nothing can take it away from you. The Bible, you know, we don't do things to gain the salvation. We do things to strengthen our faith. You see what I'm saying? It's two different things. You see what I'm saying? A true believer shows it. If our hearts and minds constantly questioning your salvation, you're constantly thinking that the decision you made one day to follow Christ was not completely sincere, you know what? If you thinking like that, grade yourself. It may be that you're right. It may be that you need to re-examine that decision. See what I'm saying? Maybe your heart feels uncomfortable because you don't see changes in your life that reflects a genuine decision of faith. Maybe I did it out of emotion because that song made me cry. A genuine faith is sure of its salvation. Does not work to earn it again, but it works to strengthen it and bear fruit. Very important. Very important that we examine ourselves. Number six, cares for others and seek their salvation. Look at this verse right here. James chapter 2, verse 15 and 17. It says, if a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, be warm and be filled." That is so funny. It's like somebody come to you with a need, and instead of helping them, you say, "Don't worry, go in peace, be warm and be filled." You know, it's so crazy. You say, and yet do not know give them what is necessary for their body. What use is that? What use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. We need to care for others. A genuine faith cares for others. And let me tell you something. For example, when you go to Walmart when you go to Walmart, when you go to your job, you know, to school, what do you see in people? Do you see only a number? Or you only see how badly or well that person is dressed? Or simply don't care about anything around, or anybody around? You know, I gotta tell you something. When I was working on this sermon, it is really personal, because you know there's so many things I need to work on. And this is one thing that I might have to put two or three right there. That sometimes you feel that you need to speak to others about Christ, but you don't have the urgency. You are so focused, you know, on your things, and you are so busy that you know that you need to speak to them about Christ, but you don't have the urgency. You see what I'm saying? A genuine faith shows evidence of preaching the gospel, being intentional in telling others about Christ, and showing love to other people in need of Christ. Now, you can say, well, there are things I need to work on. And, you know, sincerely and honestly, you grade yourself. Now, it may be that we have a genuine faith, but it may be that our faith is a little bit weak and we need to strengthen it. All right? So what are the signs of a strong faith? All right? So let's go to that. Look at this. A strong faith enjoys fellowship with other Christians. Enjoy fellowship with other Christians. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, it says, what we have seen and heard, we also proclaim to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And in truth, our communion is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible and Jesus ask us to be in communion, in fellowship. I'm going to tell you something. My fingers itches to come and play the piano every Sunday or play the drums. I really love what I do here. It is amazing. But I got to be careful. What is it that I love the most? Do I love the most the playing, or you know, do you enjoy being here? Do you wait for Sunday to come? You know, do you think the church is boring? That going to your small group is like a boring routine. You don't like the activities, or the pastor take the same jokes, or the band play the same song. You know, I go to church as an obligation. How do you feel about coming here? You know what? A strong faith is an injection of joy. Are you grumpy all the time? Let's not be a grumpy church. You know, like we are, you know, mad that anything, you know, can lead us to not talk to our brothers, or any little thing can lead us maybe to just leave the church. We gotta be filled with joy. You know, a powerful sign of a strong faith is when we have fellowship with other Christians. It strengthens our faith. It renews our faith. When we pray for each other, you know, when we go to cell group, when we break down the sermon. Number two, a strong faith works on living a pure life. Works on living a pure life. 1 John chapter 3, verse 3, and anyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Your effort to stay pure or efforts to fight against temptation, or effort to be faithful in our marriages, honor our children with a good example.
A strong faith, we have the fear of God, the fear of Christ. And the fear of Christ is a catapult to keep us sober in our faith. You know what? Having Jesus in our hearts, we have those tools available, the tools of the Holy Spirit. A weak faith does not have those weapons, these tools. Sometimes problems in marriage comes from a weak faith. No, which as a consequence make us make selfish decisions that damage our relationships. Important, very important. Grade yourself honestly and sincerely. Number three, a strong faith shows a decreasing pattern of sin in your life. A decreasing pattern, all right? Look, it says, 1 John chapter 3, verse 5 to 6, and you know that he manifested himself in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. Everyone who abides in him does not sin. Everyone who sins has neither seen him nor know him. Now, remember, right here we're not talking about the complete absence of sin. Okay? We are sinners by nature. The difference of a strong faith is how we deal with sin, how we react to our faults. As I guess the question is, if you sin, your sin in your life is deliberate, or you do not feel remorse when you sin. Remember, we talked about this earlier. You keep doing it and you do not feel guilty. Those are serious signs of a weak and not so genuine faith. So, you know, we are sinners, but grade yourself. You know, maybe in that area you need to work on it. Keep working on it. And number four, loves and lives what one preaches. Loves and lives what one preaches. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18 to 19. Children, let us not love in word or tongue, but in deed and in truth. By this we will know that we are of the truth. Look at this. By this we will know that we are of the truth. And we will secure our hearts before him. We love and live what we preach. And for example, like when you're boarding a plane, you have to get in this metal container, right? And then you need to trust this machine to take you and fly to heavens, right? You can't just put a toe in or a hand, you know, in. You have to put your whole self inside that plane, right? You can't just stand down here and wave goodbye to the people and get to the air, right? You need to get in it. You need to get your whole self in it, you see? So this is exactly what he's talking about. You know, we need to give ourselves completely to the Lord, you know, and live and love what we preach to get there. You see what I'm saying? A strong faith lives life victoriously, submits to Christ, one's family, one's work, one's studies, one's goals, one's desires revolve around the person of Jesus Christ. Around the person of Jesus Christ. So this is a great opportunity for you and to examine ourselves on how we're doing on our walk with Christ. Don't be an optical illusion, Christian. I just got one more picture for you. Let me see this picture right here. A Christian in camouflage has not been transformed, therefore produces no fruit. Every time I preach, I always like to have a key question. And the key question is very simple. And that's something that
that I want you to sincerely answer. Is my faith genuine? Is my faith strong? Let's close our eyes and let's finish it up with a word of prayer.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presented a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.